Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. This is hour two for the 18th of December. I'm your host for the show, Dr. Peter Kapsner. We're chatting about so many of the news headlines and topics of the day from a special interest standpoint, doing so from a Christian perspective. And, of course, Paul Perreault, you know, if you listen, he fills my desk every morning with news headlines, and there's just endless fun looking through some of these headlines. I don't know how to...
Admittedly, I do have to get concerned about how many trees I've hurt.
You do. It's very true. There's at least a sapling on my desk every morning, so I hope you plan something new, Paul, to become carbon neutral relative to all the printouts here on this. But help me understand this one. I don't even know how to do this from a Christian perspective, Paul. It says that the UPS store ended up deleting a Grinch-like Christmas tree because they said that... this is a tweet. The company tweeted, if your child addresses a letter to the North Pole, which what child doesn't want to send their list to Santa, right? They wrote this, you can leave it with us. We do shredding. They're shredding the children's letters, Paul. This can't be great for UPS business.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Right? How do they recover from something like this?
I know what we need to do. UPS needs some sensitivity training. They need to go and watch Miracle on 34th Street, especially the scene toward the end where there's those postal workers. And what do? They have all these letters to Santa, and they deliver them to the courtroom. Remember that?
I have to confess, I've only seen bits and pieces of this movie. I know. Don't question my faith this morning, Paul. I get it. I've only seen pieces. So you're giving me assignment over break is to watch Miracle on
30th. Yes.
All right. Well, if you're listening this morning, you want to text in your suggestion whether I should watch this movie at 877-933-2484. And speaking of these kind of crazy headlines, and Rachel, your husband,
yes.
Aaron, likes to hunt,
he
right?
He does, indeed. Yeah.
So we have the story out of Missouri of a man convicted illegally of killing hundreds of deer, and for doing so he's going to jail for an entire year, and he'll have to watch, get this, the Bambi movie every month. He took the animals and he just took them for trophies with their heads and antlers, left the bodies just aside to rot, and they're going to force him to watch Bambi every month in prison.
Yeah, I mean, the punishment fits the crime. I don't know, but I will say, like, that is, I mean, it's sad because for my husband at least there's kind of this strong belief that if you shoot it, you're going to eat it. You know, you don't just leave it there. And also you go within the legal limits. And so, but man, watching Bambi.
Yeah. And Paul, you reminded me of Bambi too. I forgot that this movie ever even came out in theaters.
It didn't come out in theaters. It was a video release only that Disney did, kind of a sequel, as it were. Not worthy of the original. So
you're saying that maybe I should watch Miracle on 34th Street, but not necessarily the new Bambi one. Okay. Well, I got one more for you here, Paul, and that is that Santa, there's good news. Santa is okay after a parade snafu in Disneyland. A Christmas parade was traveling down Main Street, USA, when the float carrying Santa in his sleigh broke. The sleigh appears to have moved forward, sending Santa out of his seat.
Ouch.
But he was caught by his safety harness, and pictures on social media show the man in the big red suit dangling as he waited for crews to get him down from the float.
I have nothing to add to that.
Well, the news is always so interesting around here, and I know our next guest, Nicole Phillips, comes to us, and she is author, blogger, speaker, writer, all of the above, and we're going to have some stories of kindness to talk about during this Christmas season. Thanks to Paul and Rachel for chiming in about the news this morning.
And to continue to lighten it up, we'll go out with a little bit more of the Muppets Christmas, 12 Days of Christmas.
I love it. That is my favorite Christmas music of this holiday season.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens,
two turtle doves
and a partridge in a pear tree.
faced with blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face.
And, of course, that music means that regular contributor to the show, Nicole Phillips, is joining us to talk about stories of kindness. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. I was so hoping for John Denver and the Muppets, though. That was my favorite. I had the video of it. I had the I guess it was a tape at the time. Also, it was that's good stuff, man.
It is. Well, Rachel Sun's been on point all Christmas season with guest favorite music, so I can just guess, Nicole, we're going to go ahead and hear a little bit more of the Muppets' Christmas there. And, you know, I don't know if you listened during some of the opening segment, but Paul is very concerned, and he remains concerned that I've never seen the movie Miracle of 34th Street. Is it at 34th Street, on 34th Street? I don't even know this movie. Have you seen this movie, Nicole?
Okay, so I was kind of in, like, Team Peter of this, because I've seen it like once. I don't really remember. In our family, the whole family sits down and watches It's a Wonderful Life. Like, that's our family movie. So I've seen Miracle on 34th Street, but I vaguely remember the letters coming in at the end. But, you know, he kind of spoiled the whole movie up for you by telling you that. So I would say, you know, you can feel free to watch anything you want now.
So, Nicole, would it be a bit of a downer if I admitted on air that I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life either?
Yeah. So now I'm taking it personally. Okay. Now I'm back on Team Paul, which means you need to sit down and watch some really great movies, pop some popcorn, get those kids sitting next to you, because if you haven't seen it, they haven't seen it, and that's part of, like, pop culture.
So the way the studio is set up around here is Paul's actually separated by bulletproof glass between us and the studio.
And
he literally ran
here.
Back in the studio on the news that I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life. Paul, would you like to have the microphone for a second again, Paul?
Yes, I think we have a therapy session coming up here where we have to have you watch Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed and then watch Miracle on 34th Street with the Natalie Wood version. And hopefully we'll get you properly situated here.
Well, we do have two big screens in the theater, so I'm going to ask Rachel Sutton, our producer, to see if she can fire up Netflix during our time here, Nicole, so I can have this on in the background. But this was a pretty kind story, I would guess. It's a Wonderful Life. You're the kindness expert. I'm guessing there's some kindness that happens in this movie.
What?
Oh, yeah. I feel that way about all Christmas stories. Like, that's why I just love this time of year. I love that we get to celebrate Jesus, but we get to celebrate the fact that people are good and they're kind and there are great things happening on screen and in real life right now. It's super cool.
Well, and you do have some stories for us this morning. I know we've covered a lot of the news and a lot of special interest subjects, and we need to do that on Faith Radio mornings, but sometimes it's nice to take a little break in the morning and just think through some specific stories of kindness that it can inspire us. I know at the end of last hour, Nicole, we had a physician on who was reminding us of extending kindness to those who are experiencing tragedy during the season, and I think there's a lot of us that either have tragedy from our backgrounds that still feels fresh during this time, or maybe a real fresh tragedy too. So give us some stories of kindness again as we're thinking about this season.
Yeah, interesting that you bring up the fact that Christmas isn't always a jolly time for everyone. I received a letter a few years ago from a woman, and she was telling me something that had happened when she was a single mom of a high school boy. And, you know, she said, I worked so hard to make ends meet every month. She said, in December was always the worst because you knew that there were going to be extra things that you're going to have to spend money on. So she said, I had $20 and it had to pay for gas for my car. It had to pay for school lunches for my child before the next payday came in. And there was one other thing she knew she was going to have to spend that money on. Well, her kid comes home from school and he said, Mom, tonight is our DECA, which is a student organization. Tonight is our DECA holiday party. And I need $10 because we're all going to a restaurant together. Well, she's mortified because she's like, seriously, like $10 is almost everything I have. But she's looking at his face and she does what we moms do. And we just try to figure it out, right? You just try to make it happen. And so she hands him the $10 and she realizes that she doesn't have any food in her home to eat at that moment. And she's hungry too. So she then proceeds to look through the couch cushions, which this is a mama after my own heart, because she knew that there would be some change somewhere in the couch cushions. She digs through her living room. She finds enough for a 99-cent burger at Burger King. And so she drops her son off at the party. She goes to the drive-thru of Burger King. And the voice over the speaker when she pulled up to the drive-thru wasn't super friendly. It was a, you know, a young guy. And she pulls around to the front after ordering her burger, and she's painstakingly counting out each coin to make sure she really had enough there. And the guy is standing there with the drive-through window open, a young man, and he has a T-shirt on, and he's kind of muttering, "Hurry up, it's cold." Now, we're talking December, Fargo, North Dakota. You bet it's cold, right?
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, and so this mom, who is really, like, just so in her head about how terrible things are for her, says to the guy, "You know, it'd probably help if you wore a coat in the drive-through window." And he shocked her because he said, "I wish I could." He said, "My dog chewed up my coat to shreds. I have a long walk to work every day, and I don't have the money yet to buy one, but I'm saving up for one." Ugh. And she's like, "Whoa, somebody has it worse than me." Like, whoa, because she thought there's no one to care for this kid to help him in this moment when he needs a coat. So she gets her burger, and she gets a call from her friend's husband, who happens to be a pastor. And he said, "I'm standing in the lobby of your apartment. I have something I need to give you. Are you coming home?" So she goes home, and she gets this beautiful gift basket. And the pastor says, "People at our church like to put something together for people during the holiday season. We want you to have this." So she gets this beautiful gift basket with food and things in it. Then she gets a gift card for the grocery store. Then he hands her another gift card for Walmart. And she said it was a generous gift card, and she was just overwhelmed by this whole thing. And, you know, there are tears, and she's hugging him. And she goes to pick her son up from the restaurant, and she's telling him about the events of the night. And he said, "Mom, I think we should go buy that guy a coat." And the mom says, "I was thinking the same thing." So they go to Walmart. They pick out a coat. They go back through the drive-thru. They say, the guy says, what do you want? What are you going to order?" And she said, "Nothing. Can I drive up?" And he's confused and says, sure. Well, she hands him in a little gift bag this coat. And he's stunned. Who's this from? Who is this for? You know, and she said, "It's for you. It's just, you know, God loves you, and he sees you, and we want you to have this." And they're pulling away, and she's driving super slowly away because her son is peeking out the back window, and he's watching as all the employees are, like, just amazed. They're like, whoa, and they're laughing, and some are crying, and it was, like, just the coolest moment for those people who were the coworkers of this guy. And so I just feel like, you know what, sometimes it's good to remember that we aren't the only ones going through something tough right now.
It's an incredible story, Nicole. It actually calls to mind the passage from Luke 3:11, where it says, "Anyone who has two shirts or two tunics should share with the one who has none." This is a very literal example of that, and it's one of those expressions of kindness that I would guess will make an imprint on this young man, maybe for a lifetime, remembering that he received a coat. It's something this simple but this profound that can make that kind of impact.
Right. And the fun part about this story is I know this woman now. And her son has graduated and everything, and she works at a church, and she is just one of the most loving, giving women, just grateful. And it's really cool to see how she still continues to spread God's love.
That's the voice of Nicole J. Phillips. We're chatting about stories of kindness in this Christmas season. And Nicole, I know we have another one coming up after the break. And as we head into break, we're going to go into that with some Muppets.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds, three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. We're chatting with Nicole Phillips about stories of kindness for this holiday season. And Nicole, I sure wish you could have been in studio here to see Rachel and Paul's mouth literally drop open with the fact that I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
And all of your listeners too, Peter, I hate to tell you.
I think any credibility that I may have had, which probably wasn't a lot, has been completely shot here on this 18th of December. I'd be curious too, Nicole, for you, this is a busy time of year, I'm guessing, for your family. Your husband, Saul, is the head basketball coach at Ohio University. We're right in the thick of the opening of NCAA basketball schedule. Do you guys get a chance to do some celebrating still during the season?
Yeah, we're going to take the kids to Indianapolis this weekend and see a Colts game and a Pacers game and just enjoy being with each other because, you know, on Christmas Day, my husband actually has practice. That's just part of the it's part of the job, you know. So we steal moments when we can. It's interesting, though, Peter, because, you know, because it's so busy, it's not just busy for us. You know, it's busy for everybody. People are traveling and doing things like that. And we can get really caught up in the hectic of where we're going and how we're going to get there. And I traveled for a speaking event last week. And it was really interesting because I was waiting at the bus stop for a little shuttle to take me from the parking lot to the airport. And there were three other men who were standing there waiting with me. So the little shuttle bus comes up and we all get on and no one is talking to anyone. And I always walk up and I make eye contact when I walk up to wait and see if someone's going to make eye contact with me. And then I say hello. So I'm making eye contact. No one's making eye contact back. And we sit down and all of a sudden this guy says, "Anybody gone any place warmer than this place?" And we all started to laugh. And we're like, and one guy's like, "Yes, I'm going to Florida." And another guy's, "I'm going to Texas." And I said, "I'm going to Fargo, North Dakota." And it was in that exact instant, like we all became kind of friends and friendly. And we were reminded that people are kind. And so I would really encourage anybody who is stuck in an elevator with strangers, stuck on a bus with strangers, you know, sitting next to somebody in an airplane, to just be the one to say, "How are you doing today?" and really look at them and wait for an answer.
Well, and during this time of season two, Nicole, and we've had some fun talking about these stories this morning, but given how rancorous and how difficult so often the news headlines are, or at least what the news chooses to focus on, is it's one of those things that we can take it upon ourselves to bring a different kind of light and a different kind of impact into the world, because certainly we can't rely on those spinning the news cycles to bring that kind of impact into our lives.
Well, and Peter, don't you think that's what Jesus called us to do? Like, go be light, you know, go remind them that there's hope. And I think it's part of our job to wake up each day and say, "Okay, God, how can I go on a kindness adventure with you today?"
When I think about New Year's coming up as well, and of course, many of us will make some kind of New Year's resolution. Is there some kind of staying power or something that we can do in just a regular practice in our life of kindness, not just for the holiday season, but if we want to resolve to become a kinder person, what kind of things do you suggest as we head into the new year?
I would say let it start in your brain. So most of us have cell phones. I would ask you to literally put a reminder in your cell phone once a week, once a day at 3 o'clock or however you want to do that, that says, "What am I thinking about?" Because when we start thinking about what we're thinking about, we'll start noticing the words that come out of our mouths. And that's a great way to start being kind. Our thoughts generally cycle around the hurry, my to-do list, the worry, what's going to happen to my kids, and then we become judge and jury over everybody else around us, and we make snap judgments about people that really don't help us to be compassionate toward them. So the simplest way to do that is just to start thinking about what you're thinking about. And, hey, Peter, before I just got to make sure we get this in there, if people want to fill their minds with wonderful things to think about, they should listen to the Kindness Podcast starting December 27th, because I've got this amazing guest. His name is Dr. Peter Kapsner, and people are going to love this interview, but that will be released on December 27th.
Yeah, I've heard about that guy and the credibility that he brings to any kind of Christmas time conversation, given his just rich history with some of the historic movies in our time. It was delightful to be a part of the podcast with you, Nicole. I know during this time of the year, it's so important to be focusing on these things. And as you think about the 2019, I know you've released a couple books as well. And do you have any projects in the works moving forward?
I do. I have a book that will come out about breast cancer in 2019, and then hopefully I will have a book that will come out for the secular audience and the Christian audience, but mainly just helping people kind of put some of these tools into place with kindness, and that will come out 2020.
And in terms of any other projects from the blog standpoint, just remind our listeners as we get ready to wrap things up here today where they can go to see some of your work and see some of the books that you have released, Nicole.
Yeah, well, my favorite thing to do is speaking, so I'm around doing that, and people can find out where I'll be on braveandkind.net, and then I have a new blog post every Monday. I have a new kindness podcast on Thursdays, and then I have a sweet kindness story that is released every Friday. So there's plenty of ways to fill your brain with positivity during this season, I promise.
Well, we certainly loved having you part of the show this past year and looking forward to a big 2019 ahead, Nicole. And I know heading into break, we've got another snippet of the Muppets, but this time it's We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Ooh, I love that one.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Now bring us a figgy pudding. Now
figgy
bring
pudding.
No, figgy pudding. Made with figs.
Oh, sorry.
And bacon.
What?
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, always so many looking backwards headlines and from 2018 as we wrap up the year for Faith Radio Mornings. And I see that the 2018 Merriam-Webster Word of the Year for 2018 was the word justice. It was considered the top search, up 74% over 2017. The dictionary pointed out that many of the national debates in our country over the past year have revolved around justice, from racial justice and social justice to criminal justice and economic justice. There were also many stories involving the word, including the contentious nomination process of the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and the Russian probe being handled by the Justice Department, and this is likely to extend into 2019. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, we were joined by Brandon Showalter of the Christian Post, and he was talking about gender identity and the harm that we end up doing if we don't at least pursue truth in this area.
Without truth, there can be no order, and there can be no stability, and there's only chaos. And I do think all this gender madness, we are going to see a tremendous backlash from it because so many people are being harmed by it, so many people. It can't last. Unfortunately, it's been weaponized to a great degree in our culture, but this is madness. I mean, I think there's ways to challenge gender norms without believing that you are the opposite sex or that you're some confused version of yourself that you have to define yourself by. It's possible to teach little boys to be kind and teach girls to be strong. We don't have to gender those things, if you will. But tell the truth at all costs, really, especially on this issue, because this is where the enemy, I believe, is trying to confuse and, frankly, destroy the next generation, but even people my age and older. We've got to get this right.
Appreciated Brandon's wisdom yesterday, especially around the words strength, around kindness, that these are not gendered words. They're human words. They may play themselves out differently in our masculinity and femininity. But at the same time, we don't need to go to these crazy places of blending all of the genders together. If you want to go ahead and listen to that entire segment, you can go to myfaithradio.com and hear all of what Brandon had to say on that topic. Well, I see that we have Dr. Hunter Baker on the line already. He is the Dean of College of Arts and Sciences at Union University, as well as Associate Professor of Political Science. And we're going to talk a little bit about the impact that all of these controversies are having on the polling for President Trump and what we can think about in the 2020 election cycle relative to that.
When a small skirmish between parents and teens ignites into World War III, mom and dad feel like giving up and walking away. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. If your home is the site of daily battles between you and your teen, you may know the feeling. I've met parents who give up in the fight just because they're battle-weary. No fighting seems really good compared to always fighting. But it often comes at the expense of growth on the part of the teen and the parent. Take a rest. Choose to lay off correcting and arguing for a few days. But don't give up on training your child altogether. You might miss the fact that conflict can lead to some of the biggest growth. So don't give up. Handled appropriately, conflict can be your friend.
Learn how to get your teen back on track. Get instant access to Mark's free parenting course online at freeparentingcourse.com.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, then mourns in Lord.
It's about 19 minutes before the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, and we're joined at this time by Dr. Hunter Baker, a regular contributor to the program from Union University, Associate Professor of Political Science there. Thought we would chat a little bit about some of the implications that all these controversies are having around President Trump as we think forward to 2019 and into the 2020 election. Good morning, Hunter.
Hey there. Good morning.
So there's certainly been a lot in the headlines for President Trump, and I know he famously said during the campaign that he could literally shoot somebody in the middle of New York City and he wouldn't lose the support of his hardcore base. Is there any erosion to his support now, given so many of these controversies?
I don't see a lot. You know, I was just looking at the Real Clear Politics average, and you know, he has been kind of in that 42-43% zone of support for a long, long time. You know, Rasmussen is kind of the outlier, consistently having him at 48-49-50. His polling methodology is a little different, focuses on likely voters. But nevertheless, no, I think he has a core of support, probably roughly around that low 40s level, that is determined to stick with him.
And in terms of just that support level, is there the possibility that we're going to see any kind of challenge to President Trump given that level of support? I know there's been a little bit of saber rattling coming out of Ohio and John Kasich maybe suggesting to be careful what you wish for. He might present a challenge to President Trump, but this is pretty unusual to think about somebody challenging a sitting president, isn't it?
That would be unusual. You know, certainly most of the Republican Party seems to have kind of made its peace with Donald Trump. I mean, it's really interesting because, you know, he's really a 1980s figure. That's really when he kind of came to prominence. That's the time of Oliver Stone's Wall Street, Gordon Gekko, the idea of the hostile takeover. And sometimes I tell people that Donald Trump executed a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. But nevertheless, the party seems to have kind of come to grips with him, and and there it is. But if he does encounter significant legal trouble, I think that would open the door to a challenge, and then maybe that's where you get your John Kasich or your Ben Sasse.
Yeah, and in terms of that, the sort of the fracture within the Republican Party, you referenced the fact that there really has been a bit of a takeover of the party. And in the 2018 midterms, Hunter, we certainly saw that those people who supported the president within the Republican Party tended to fare pretty well in the elections, and those that opposed the president within the Republican Party didn't do so well. Can you just remind our listeners about maybe some of the impact that President Trump has had and the way he shifted the party with some of his policies and the way that he's done work as a political leader?
Yeah, well, the big change has to do with free trade. You know, the Republican Party, not always, but within sort of our modern frame, has been very much a free trade party, sort of globalist in outlook. Really, people would be shocked to hear this, but if you were to listen to Sean Hannity, say around 2005, you would have seen him praising free trade and resisting the idea of building a wall in Mexico, those those sorts of things. Trump has totally changed that conversation. The people really, really pushing hard against illegal immigration used to be outliers in the Republican Party, and he has totally mainstreamed that point of view. So so kind of the issue of trade and also the issue of borders, I would say those are the two main areas.
Well, and you reference somebody like a Sean Hannity, Hunter, and what kind of impact and what kind of role do news shows have on people's perception of the political side of the aisle and which they might favor? I think, and we talk about this on Faith Radio Mornings, that CNN certainly tends to spin the information in the articles to much more of a liberal kind of direction, and Fox News, of course, towards a much more conservative direction. How do we think about this as listeners and as viewers when you have people that are either advocating for, however temporarily, a platform or whatever it is that's, you know, seems to be news?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, the old standard was that news was supposed to be kind of a money loser, and it was a public service. And 60 Minutes changed all that. That was the first news program that really turned a profit and was a hit. And what has been discovered is that not only can news be a big business, but slanted news can be a big business. And, you know, originally you kind of had Fox pushing sort of right of center and MSNBC pushing left of center and CNN trying to be in the middle. I think CNN has given up on that because they were getting killed. They're still not winning, but it turns out that we like to have our biases confirmed, whichever side we're on. Social media encourages that as well. And that's a problem because we are all kind of indulging different accounts of reality.
And that slant does really come in just in terms of the news stories on which we tend to focus. It's always fascinating to me, Hunter, to click to CNN.com, MSNBC.com, and FoxNews.com. And some of them are you know, huge headlines around one issue or another coming out of Washington, D.C. And you go to the other site, and you can't even find that headline on their site. So for those that don't believe bias exists in journalism, there really is just by what you choose to focus on, even if it's still factual, is where the bias comes in.
That's exactly right. I mean, even as you point out, even simply the selection of the story or what to give the time can demonstrate significant bias.
Talking with Dr. Hunter Baker of Union University this morning around some of the political headlines of our day. And Hunter, we'll take a short break. When we come back, I would love to get your perspective on how evangelicals seem to be supporting Trump and will they continue to stick with him as so many of these controversies are swirling about. Some more to come with Hunter Baker next on Faith Radio Mornings.
Sing glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy.
Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings at about 10 minutes before the top of the hour here on the 18th of December, and we're chatting with Dr. Hunter Baker of Union University about some of the headlines coming out of Washington, D.C. And Hunter, before getting back into some headlines around the president, in the first segment today, I admitted out loud on the air that I've never seen the Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and I think I've lost any shred of credibility I had left. Hunter, can you help me out here, or are you going to pile on as well?
Well, I would not pile on. I myself only watched it just a few years ago, and I'm 48 years old. So, you know, and I mean, I just didn't have that much interest in it. But I did finally get myself to watch it. I do see the appeal having watched it. It is a great American movie. You should see it.
Well, you and I are the exact same age then, and what you're suggesting is that there's still hope for somebody like me at this stage in my life.
That's right. Absolutely. You can still do the right thing.
I love it. Well, I see that evangelicals obviously are people who are often concerned with doing just that, the right thing. And boy, some of the headlines coming out of Washington, D.C. are filled with the wrong thing, it appears, both in personal behavior and some of the political treatment that President Trump does of his opponents and now back and forth. And what do we see in terms of evangelical support? Historically, it has been for the Republican Party, but is there any wavering or is it actually hardening in support of the Republican Party?
It's pretty strong. It's definitely probably at a peak, you know, around 80 plus percent. Although I'm not sure what we would find happened in the midterms. You know, certainly it's the case that a lot of the white college educated suburban voters went the other way in the midterms, and that could include a significant number of evangelicals. The thing I would say is this. There's so much internal, you know, kind of civil war within the evangelical world over Donald Trump. I think it's important to understand, and there's research out there. George Barna has done research. The churchgoers did not vote for Donald Trump in the primary. They did not support him in the primary. They did in the general election. And I think it was a very straightforward transaction. I think that Donald Trump made clear what he would do on the Supreme Court, and evangelicals said, okay, we're up for that, and that's what he's done. They got their two probably pro-life justices, you know, and as important, people who will likely support religious liberty, and there it is.
And for so many evangelicals, relative to those kinds of decisions and the confirmation process we've seen, do you sense that people are doing the typical means are justified by the end of the process, that it doesn't really matter how we get there? The fact that there are conservative Supreme Court justices really was the end game here, and we'll just sort of forget about how it all happened.
Yeah, that was the end game. Here's what I would say about that. I mean, the American electoral system basically puts you in that position as a voter, right? I mean, we have a binary choice, which is the Republican or the Democrat, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, and you can either abstain from that process or you can participate in it. And you know, I think that a lot of people made that calculation. I don't think it's really fair. To fault people for making that choice. You know, I saw one of these tortured kind of tweets from somebody, you know, what did evangelicals think they were doing electing Donald Trump? And my answer was, well, they thought they were trying to save about 1 million unborn children each year. Something like that.
And that makes a lot of sense on so many different levels. There has been sort of this plug your nose and vote phenomenon that has happened, and vote for the lesser of two evils, I think so many people are suggesting. I know in many other parts of the world, Hunter, there's multiple political parties that have a chance to rise to power. I see what's happening in Brexit. I understand what's going on in Germany relative to needing to work across different political aisles to have enough of a majority to work with. Is there any possibility in the United States that we could ever see a third party come into play, both in the halls of Congress and maybe a legitimate run for president?
Yeah, you've got the right guy. I have written a lot about that. I've done a journal symposium on it, and I've also written an essay for a magazine called Modern Age about the question, can we import Christian democracy, which is the name of a, you know, popular political party around the world, can we import Christian democracy into the United States? Can there be an American version of Christian democracy? And our system makes it very hard. What I think would have to happen is that we would have to build the party. Some people are trying to do that. And then we would have to say, well, I am a Republican voter who is actually a Christian Democrat, or I am a Democratic voter who is actually a Christian Democrat, you know, in an attempt to build up that identity. And ultimately what happens is you take over one of the two dominant parties. That's the Republican Party was able to take the place of the Whig Party. Maybe something like that can happen.
And boy, that would certainly bring some checks and balances into the system a little bit more so, in terms of it wouldn't just be running against the other person's platform. You might actually have to have a platform yourself that you're advocating for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So what do we see moving forward in terms of the impact on the church? We've got just about a minute left here. And in 2019, looking ahead, the church, is it increasingly divorcing itself from the political process because it's gotten so ugly, or is there an invitation to get involved in a different way?
I think that people are heavily involved because the stakes seem high. But if it continues to be so ugly, I do think that people will begin to go away. A lot of serious Christians used to stay out of politics on the idea that it's an ugly activity, and we may see people begin to feel that way again.
Well, it's going to certainly be interesting to watch moving forward into 2019. Appreciate you joining us as you have on Faith Radio Mornings here in this past few months, Hunter, and look forward to some more conversations into 2019. Hope you have a great Christmas and New Year ahead.
Hey, thanks, and same to you.
We'll take a break here and wrap up our show for Faith Radio Mornings for the 18th of December. Great to be back in studio this morning. Appreciate you listening. Love just seeing all of the cities represented here up on our wall of people in the listening audience as we're doing life together in the kingdom. And Paul Perot, you know, one of the themes here in this last hour was people understandably ripping upon me for not having seen It's a Wonderful Life. But my understanding is you have never participated in that great American tradition of eating at Chipotle.
I didn't realize it was an American tradition.
Paul, if you have not had burrito with some measure of cilantro in it, and everything at Chipotle has cilantro, we're going to have to do a little rite of passage sometime this week.
See,
I will bring a breakfast burrito.
There's another restaurant, a smaller one, called, what is it? I'm trying to remember that. Poncheros, which is really good. I prefer that.
So that's where you prefer. Well, I will bring him that in the morning. And tonight, my assignment is to watch It's a Wonderful Life. I will check in with all of you again tomorrow on Faith Radio Mornings. Again, Merry Christmas, everyone, and Happy Advent.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.